This is Coach Lee, and you're listening to The Door Report.
At Vanderbilt, it's Tim Corbin and the Vandy Boys. On the hardwood, and Clark Lee on the gridiron. Nashville, it's time to sit back, relax, grab a cold one, and enjoy the show. The Music City is our stage, and West End is where we rock. You're listening to The Door Report, the premier Vanderbilt podcast for fans who bleed black and gold. Commodore Nation, anchor down.
Welcome back into The Door Report, episode 268 on a pretty lovely Tuesday evening, April 23rd, 2024. I am Will Byram, joined as always by my co-host, Trevor Hewlin, a.k.a. Hack Squat, Jim Duggan. And we have our special guest. She's been in most of the episodes recently.
Oh, yeah.
Our producer, Phoebe, sitting here up on the table. She's checking up on the box scores.
Yeah, she's doing some little R&R for us.
From the series that the Vandy Boys had this weekend against Florida. So thank you to producer Phoebe for the research and development. Here at The Door Report, we are presented by 615 Collectibles. If you're into sports cards or sports memorabilia, check out 615 Collectibles on eBay for an incredible selection of sports cards. Also, there is a new inventory upload about to happen of 2021 Panini Select die-cut prisms, football prisms. So if you are into sports cards at all, that should be going up over the next few days. So give that a look-ski. And remember, shipping is always fast and free. Trevor, we have Vandy Boys to get to.
We do.
Four games, one midweek game, three in the series against Florida over the weekend. But the beef of this episode, as I think you have titled on the bottom of the YouTube video on the ticker here, is a Mark Byington glaze fest.
That's because my coach.
Mark Byington, new head coach of Vanderbilt men's basketball, has been on the recruiting trail inside of the transfer portal.
Dude, just dropping bags.
Deep inside.
Just Louis bags at dudes' feet and saying, hey, you know how to reach me.
We'll get into this more, and it seems to be the consensus across all Vanderbilt fans, but I just want to keep reiterating what Mark Byington has done in his first, month or so.
Has it even been that long?
I don't know what the hiring date was. Maybe that's something Phoebe can look up for us, the actual date he was hired. But over the last week has been one of the most impressive things I've ever seen a Vanderbilt coach do. Maybe the most impressive thing on a team that went 9-23 last year. Literally has two guys remaining on the roster in Vin Allen Lubin and JQ Roberts. And he's built an entire new roster in 2 weeks, basically.
Yes.
And after seeing what Vanderbilt has dealt with over the last 5 years of just give him more time. He needs more time. He needs a lot of talk and not a lot of action from the Jerry Stackhouse regime. You've seen some talk and a whole lot of action to back it up so far in the Mark Byington era.
Dude, he is just letting it hang. Also, it hasn't even been a month yet.
That's incredible.
It hasn't even been a month yet.
Mark Byington was not joking when he stopped by Fraternity Row at Vanderbilt and said, we're going to get this thing going. I promise you.
I love baseball. I love talking Vandy Boys. I love talking indie ball, Major League Baseball, low A, double A, triple A. I'm more excited to talk about Mark Byington in this episode. I mean, like you said, no other way to put it. He's done seemingly the impossible. He's done the impossible so far.
About as good as you could expect. If you see me throughout this video changing microphone hands or shaking my right wrist or hand, I once again was hit playing adult men's league softball. Absolute laser directly at my head last night. For some reason, my natural instinct was to throw my right hand up to block it instead of my gloved hand on the left side. but I did block it and avoided meeting God.
Yeah.
There was a small chance or a pretty high chance about 0.1 seconds away from me being in the hospital with my face split open playing softball.
What do you think the exit velocity on that ball was?
From my angle, 1 million miles per hour. It was the fastest softball ever hit in the world. But I did get my hand up.
Yep.
My wrist, very, very sore, beginning to bruise. Hasn't quite happened yet. It has been, what, less than 24 hours since it happened.
Yep.
So, thankfully, I am here. No softball to the face. I already have a nice scar on my eyebrow here, and I've broken my nose once. Don't want to have it happen again.
Tell the people, did you make the play, though?
I did not make the play.
But was he out?
He was the second baseman behind me made the play.
That's what you call teamwork.
Yeah. Teamwork makes the dream work. So shout out to my former roommate, good friend Emmett Robinson, made the play. He made sure to make the play before he checked on me.
I mean, hey, but in your defense, you knock the ball down. That's what they teach you in Little League. They're like, hey, just knock the ball down.
It was a big momentum shifting moment. It was a tight ball game up until that point. I think it was 13-11. The boys ended up winning 35-12.
Oh,
they really, really, that gave a lot of juice and energy to the boys. So got them going, broke the slump. Playoffs begin next Monday. I can't wait to see where I get hit next with the softball. It's actually unbelievable how many times I've been hit over the last four seasons.
You've been hitting the leg. You've been hitting the hand.
That's just this year.
Yeah.
I got hit in the chest one year, just directly into the chest.
You've been hitting the ribs?
Oh, that's like where
I
think that was last year.
Really, all that's left is just the head and the balls. So pick your poison. You got to go headshot.
I don't want another headshot, dude. My brain has taken enough damage over the years.
You'd rather have a ball shot.
I feel like I protect my balls a little more than my face. I feel like a ball shot might be tough. I don't know. Yeah, I'll take a headshot over a ball shot, to be honest. I might not remember it, but I'd like to have kids someday, even if I have brain damage by the age of 45.
Hey, dude, you don't really need a brain, but you need your balls. I mean,
that's true.
Scientifically speaking.
True.
Your brain can't reproduce, but your balls can, dude.
You're making some good scientific points
over here.
Brain
cannot bring life into the world, but your balls can.
So protect the balls, taking the dome shot. Before we get into all that we discussed in this fantastic intro, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Door Report. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and Google Podcasts. And while you're at it, give our podcast 5 stars and review on iTunes, and don't forget to comment on that YouTube video. I literally did speak about it, that our YouTube numbers had increased for a couple episodes. This one, the last episode was the absolute opposite. YouTube numbers went down and actual like audio listens went up. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what we're doing. Whatever.
I'm an audio man myself.
See, I'm a video guy.
Yeah,
I like watching video podcasts.
Different strokes for different folks.
But it's now time for segment one.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You done sneezing, Phoebe? Good. Now a big yawn.
Big yawn.
Welcome back into segment one of episode 268 of The Door Report. Trevor, I think we're going to go baseball, and then we're going to go cocktail break, and then we're going to discuss Mark Byington on the recruiting trail. Phoebe, you are hamming it up right now. Really reintroducing yourself into this podcast.
She's just
establishing your dominance.
There she is.
Sneezing in the break in between the intro and segment one and distracting me and Trevor from what we needed to do. Now rolling over and just showing all the cuteness off the camera.
Yeah, showing, hey, cover your belly. Have some modesty, Phoebe.
This is a family-friendly show.
Yeah, dude, we're going to have to censor
sometimes.
You.
But the Vandy boys, well, now I might have to update some of these stats, but when I wrote it down, we're sitting at 29-11, 10-8 in conference. Beat Lipscomb in the midweek game, 15-4.
Had to do my boys like that.
They did the Bison dirty. But went on the weekend, bounce back series after the domination they experienced from Texas A&M. They were at home. That's going to be a big storyline here, talking about the Vandy boys, home versus the road. But at home, won the Florida series 2-1. Won game one, 10-5. Game two, 5-2. and then lost game three, 6-2. Overall, this Florida team is not incredible by any stretch of the imagination. No. Not one of the top teams in the country, and not even one of the top teams in the SEC. But it is good that they won the midweek game and bounced back and won another home series. It does raise some concerns looking at the records before the UT Martin walk-off that literally just happened.
Yeah, Vandy boys walk them off.
Shout out Vandy boys, beat the UT Martin Skyhawks, baby.
Hey, shout out to my dad for texting me and me checking my watch because I had no idea what was going on in the game whenever we started recording.
But Vanderbilt before that game, sitting at 22-4 at home and 3-7 on the road, 4-0 at neutral sites. So any ideas why the hell Vanderbilt cannot win on the road?
It's got to be mental. Don't you think it's got to be mental? And it's not like, then again, these SEC road games are intense. And we've talked about it on pod. SEC baseball is another beast. SEC baseball is not comparable to any other conference in college baseball. So the road atmosphere is intense. It is a little bit louder. It is more in your face. But still, it's just got to be mental. You know what I mean?
It's an odd trait for a Tim Corbin coach team. Maybe it's not. I don't have the previous year's data.
The stat splits just make no sense to me. Like, Vandy just absolutely pitching lights out most of the time at home. But on the road, dude, the pitching stinks. It's got to be mental.
It's got to be something.
Yeah.
But another big storyline from this weekend is Grayson Carter moved to closer.
Yeah.
Removed. He was the third starter in the rotation. The Sunday starter has been moved to the closer role, at least this past weekend. Do you think that's permanent? Do you think that's just testing something out? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's probably testing something out. I think if you see him come out as the closer this weekend, then I'm going to believe that it's probably permanent. I think it's for the remainder of the season. He's looked good as closer, and you know it's good whenever you can throw a guy like that in a closing position. You're so well off at the starting position, at least whenever you're pitching at home, that you can take a guy like Grayson Carter, who has major league baseball potential, and put him at the closing at the closer position. I think it's great. I think what I really like about it is a lot of the starters, almost all starters, really have to manage how they pitch because it's more duration than anything. You're pitching 4 or 5, sometimes 6 innings. We've seen 7, 8 innings from a lot of the starters this year. You sort of have to control yourself. Don't gas yourself out immediately. Because it's a long game. And I think moving Grayson Carter to closer is interesting because he doesn't have to think about how long he's going to be out there. He just has to go out there for a half inning, maybe 2 half innings, and just give it everything he's got. Throw as much mustard at those guys as you can. He doesn't have to worry about gassing himself out. The only thing that worries me is from moving him to starting to closer is mentally it's a much different ball game. There's much more high pressure stakes in closing, especially when it's a tight ball game. You got men on base. You know that you can lose the game here. Because if you're a starting pitcher and you have a couple runners on base and you give up a 2-hit ribby, it sucks. It's not what you want to do, but it's not the end of the world. As opposed to if you are a closer, it very well might be the end of the world for that game. You know what I mean?
And I think this is obvious. This is nothing I'm about to say is going to blow anybody's mind that's a massive Vandy boys fan or baseball fan in general. But having a good closer that you can rely on in college baseball is always an underrated aspect of the team until you hit postseason play. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, it's all about having that lockdown closer during the regular season. People talk about it. It's discussed. But all of a sudden, every single year, it's a big deal. So it worked out kind of well this weekend. Grayson Carter came out with 2 saves. Saves in game one, saves in game two. Didn't face a ton of batters. I think only faced 1 batter in game one and pitched 1 full half inning or 1 full inning in game two. Game three, he gave up 2 earned runs in that spot. J.D. Thompson started out game three, was the chosen new game three starter. Probably we're going to see a few guys, but there was a small controversy in game three associated with J.D. Thompson. An alleged foreign substance had him ejected from the game, giving credence to other SEC fan bases to clown Vanderbilt. cheaters, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it's a load of horse shit, like almost all of this stuff is, whatever. And I understand it can increase, if it's a true foreign substance, it can increase spin rate or whatever. I think that's one of the most, one of the biggest dumb things that baseball is obsessed with is foreign substances.
I totally agree.
Like, how much of a difference can that really make if he has some Vaseline on his arm? I mean, I'm not saying that's not what he had. I think it was probably just the rosin.
Probably,
Mitch
probably,
with sunscreen.
Probably sunscreen and rosin.
Yeah, sunscreen and rosin.
It's not like he had spider tack on it or something like that.
But even then, it increases spin rate. I don't know. Whatever. I think that's a load of nothing.
Yeah, and two, it's interesting. And we were talking about this before pod. We brought up Trevor Bauer because he's been a real proponent of showing the science that is concocting a sticky substance in Major League Baseball. Pause. But it's really interesting whenever you look at college baseball as well. The baseballs are different. So someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's always been like this, at least as far as I know. The baseballs that they use in college ball, the seams are not as raised. So the seams are pretty flat. So it's a lot harder for pitchers to grip the ball, which of course decreases spin rate, decreases movement, decreases grip on the baseball, and makes it easier for the hitter to pick up those pitches. And so what that sticky substance does is it's a little bit more forgiving. Obviously it's illegal. Did he put it on him, on his arm? We don't know. I would like to believe he didn't. And if he did, I don't care. I cheer for him. So cheat all we want. I don't care. When people cheat against us, I hate it. But when we cheat, I actually love it. I think it's totally awesome. But yeah, I think it's just a silly, silly thing. And you got to think too, okay, maybe he had a little bit of some sort of substance on his forearm or underneath his ball cap. Let's not forget that in college baseball, they play with BB core bats. It's not like they're going out there with Louisville Sluggers or Old Hickories. No, they're going out there with BB core bats. Talk about an advantage for the hitter. And Axel, shout out to Axel who brought this up on Twitter. It creates a huge advantage for the hitter. And I get it. People want to see offense. People want to see home runs. People want to see scores runners score across the plate. But it's such an unfair advantage. And shout out to Axel. Like I said, he brought up a great point. Jack Caglione hit a boom shot, I believe, Sunday. He had a couple. But Sunday, that typically would not be a home run. And he suggested college baseball needs to go to wood bats. I totally agree. I think it's an unfair advantage for hitters. And if you want to level the playing field a bit, at least raise the seams, or if a dude wants to mix up some rosin and sunscreen, then let him.
I don't know. I don't, whatever.
You want to hear a fun sticky substance story before we go?
Let's hear a fun sticky substance story.
So my girlfriend's brother played baseball, at a D1 university. I won't out the university, but one of his friends was a pitcher and he was telling me of like, I asked him straight up whenever I met him. I was like, hey, dude, if you don't want to answer, I get it. Because like the code, the brotherhood. Did your pitchers use like sticky stuff? He goes, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he even goes, so we had one pitcher that would get a Gatorade bottle and he would put in a little Elmer's glue, dump in some sunscreen, dump in some rosin, mix it up. And in the Gatorade bottle, just like put it like either on like the brim of his cap or on his forearm, and like made his own concoction of sticky substance with rosin, sunscreen, and Elmer's glue.
It's like, that's like one of the worst kept secrets in all of baseball.
Yes,
like everybody
dude.
Knows that everybody has something, or almost every pitcher has something they use.
Yes.
And I don't know. It's whatever to me. But the Florida game on Sunday did end a 17-game home winning streak for the Vandy boys, but it extended the series over the weekend, extended the Vanderbilt's 13 straight home series win streak, extending back to last year. So
yeah, this team's a different animal at home.
Once again, just hitting on the storyline of, for some reason, Vanderbilt is unstoppable, maybe the best team in the country at home. And then they go on the road and drop down to being a very mediocre SEC baseball team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand it, but 4-0 on neutral site games. So
yeah.
Whatever you make of that.
I'll ask you this question in regards to baseball. Did this series outcome sort of change your opinion compared to how we felt about Vandy baseball last week after the TAMU series?
I'm still very much the same that I was before the season. I haven't, pretty much they've been exactly what I expected this team to be.
That's
struggles
fair.
With power a little bit, has solid pitching, but a little bit inconsistent. And we'll see. The bats have to get hot at the right time. Baseball's a weird sport, and every year sometimes the bats go dead in postseason. Sometimes they hit their stride. But the main thing, they have to lock up a home, be a regional host site.
Or else this team's toast.
Yes, that's the main takeaway from this series is, once again, the team bounces back at home. They have to be a host site. They have to do whatever it takes. The schedule does not ease up. Coming up for the Vandy boys, like you said, just beat UT Martin 5-4 on a walk-off. This upcoming weekend, play at home again against Mississippi State. Then play at home against my wings up Golden Eagles, baby, Tennessee Tech. At home.
Both of our schools are going to get dumpstered.
Yeah, probably. Tuesday, April 30th at 6 p.m. Then they have number 20 Georgia on the road. Then they play a midweek game against Louisville. And then they play at home against number 3 Tennessee. And then to close out the season, on the road at number 4 Kentucky.
Tough stretch coming up. Tough stretch.
It's always a tough stretch in the SEC. Yeah. But this is a brutal way to close out the season.
Yeah. That can either really catapult you into postseason play, or, dude, it could knock you down a couple notches. You know what I mean?
But this Mississippi State series this weekend, I don't even think it's just necessary that they win the series. I think they need a sweep. Just with what they have coming up. Now, I'm not going to be upset if they win the series 2-1, but you have to extend that series win streak at home to 14.
You have to keep boosting that resume. Because right now, I think a lot of people have Vandy projected as a road team in regional play.
I've still seen them sitting at like that 13-14 spot.
Right on the cusp.
Right on the cusp of it. So it's going to come down to what they do to close out the year, and it's not an easy schedule at all.
I think if they sweep Mississippi State, let's say they sweep Mississippi State, they would have to take the series. Let's say they only take 2 of the 4 series the rest of the season. I don't think this is a host team. Am I crazy?
I think it depends on how those series go.
Yeah.
If it's 1-2 against number 3 Kentucky and number 4 Tennessee, I think it's going to be hard to say. Mm-hmm. But if they get absolutely dominated on some, or if they get dominated by Georgia on the road, then that changes.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot to do with how the series plays out, more than just, like, if it's another Texas A&M fiasco.
Yeah.
Even one of those series, then yeah, I think it drops them out.
I'll also say this, and I don't care if people disagree. I would rather sweep Tennessee than win the national title.
No,
I would. I'm being totally. I would rather sweep Tennessee than win the national title.
I strongly disagree with that. You didn't. I thought you were going to say I would rather them sweep Tennessee than sweep Kentucky, and I was going to say, well, yeah.
Nope, I would rather sweep Tennessee than win the national title.
No, I'd rather win the national title, Trevor. I think it's a bad take.
Hey, we can agree to disagree.
Hey,
check it on Twitter. I think more people would rather sweep Tennessee than win a natty.
No.
I don't know.
I guarantee you that's
wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm the biggest Tennessee hater.
I hate Tennessee as well, but you're not talking about an SEC title. You're talking about a natty.
I hate the Tennessee baseball
and
team.
Then we can start spinning the narrative that, yeah, Vandy may be down, but they're going to win a natty every 5 years, 14, 19, 24. It's beautiful. It's perfect.
I stand by that take. This is a hell of a thing to die on. I would rather sweep those douchebags than win a natty.
I would love to sweep those douchebags. If you were telling me that, between that or just making it to Omaha, well, I don't know. I would still choose making it to Omaha. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Regular season baseball just doesn't mean that much to me.
What if we swept Tennessee and won a natty?
Then I'm on board. Yeah, I like that.
There we go. Yeah, we like that scenario right there.
There we go. But we have some basketball to get to. We said basketball is going to be the beef. We talked a little more baseball than I think I expected, but we're going to take a TDR cocktail break, and then it's time to glaze Mark Byington. So we will be right back. Welcome back from the TDR cocktail break. Hope you have a nice cold one next to you. Not for sad reasons.
No.
Not for depressed reasons for once. For happy reasons. I hope you have a celebratory beverage next to you. Whether you like to celebrate with whiskey, a whiskey Diet Coke like I'm sipping on, water like Trevor's sipping on, Gatorade, iced tea, vodka, whatever your drink of choice is.
Yeah, absinthe.
Absinthe. We need to have an absinthe podcast.
Doesn't it make you like hallucinate?
I don't think real absinthe is legal.
Yeah, because it's got like mercury or something, isn't it?
That's what killed a lot of our great writers,
dude.
If you've never seen New Girl either, there's an incredible episode.
I bet Edgar Allan Poe did a lot of absinthe,
dude. All of our great writers,
did. Yeah, dude, they did.
We need to bring back absinthe.
Then we could maybe have great American literature again.
That's our next political movement. Oh my gosh, there's a lot of politicking going on college campuses. We're going to go on college campuses and protest. Bring back real absinthe.
Dude, could you imagine this pod on absinthe?
We'd be so gosh darn creative. Holy crap. What an incredible way to start this segment.
We put a little absinthe drop in Phoebe's water bowl.
Let's get the people going. It'd be worse than the mango shooters, dude. We just take just absinthe shooters to start out the day at 9 a.m. for 8 a.m.
Actually kill Joseph West.
Over OD on absinthe.
Involuntary manslaughter charges against DDR.
We'd need Blake Fromang on our side. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Blake would be like, God damn it.
Blake would be like, dude. He's like, dude. I can't help you here, guys.
I'm like, you've said on Twitter, it's a binding contract. You're a TDR's lawyer.
And he breaks his contract. So we go to George Barclay. George's like, dude. Hey, guys, it's George Barclay. I'm sorry, but I can't help you guys out here.
You didn't just turn him Boston. You also turned him into a 35-year smoker. Pack-a-day smoker without it impersonation.
He does have a great accent. But then we would go to heel Jay Will, Boston. And he would be like, dude. I can't be associated with you guys. And then we would go to Brett DeLoyer, and I think he would take us on. I think Brett DeLoyer would take us on.
A denial correlation. Always Sunny shout out. We love Always Sunny here on the spot. But we actually have some basketball recruiting to talk about, not just absinthe and lawsuits in the future.
Alleged
future lawsuits.
Like good basketball. When was the last time we talked about good news on the basketball front? It's been over a year.
It's been since Tyron returned. That was good
news.
Yes,
so almost
a year. It wasn't on the court good news by any stretch, but that was the last time. The last time outside of a player just returning, new blood coming into the program, it was probably the Lee Dort class. And I'm completely forgetting the name of the point guard that transferred to Rice.
Noah Shelby. Yep.
Yeah, it was that.
Came in with Colin.
Colin Smith, Noah Shelby, Lee Dort. That was probably the last time there's been this level of excitement and hope. And I think the difference is these guys aren't freshmen.
Do you remember whenever we held that Twitter Spaces and Noah Shelby's dad was like speaking and said that he's 100% committed to this program? And then like 3 days later, he left.
I don't really, but sounds right.
We had
Noah Shelby and Lee Dort on the podcast after they committed, actually. So shout out to them. I know Lee Dort's at Cal. I have no idea where Noah Shelby's going to end up, and Colin Smith, no idea where he's going to end up, but it's probably not back at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Let's get into this class. Mark Byington. My God.
Dude.
He's been on the trail.
Yeah.
Hot and heavy. There was also a photo, before we get into the actual names, of Kodak Black wearing a Vanderbilt basketball hat. I don't... Who put that on him
initially? I can even roll in peace.
My name Kodak Black, but when you see me, I'm white. I might fuck your white wife. Put that in the intro.
Clip that.
But
it was like a Vanderbilt assistant coach,
dude,
according to Joey.
What a brilliant move.
Dude.
Just to slap that hat on him and that beautiful Kodak Black smile. Just the gooberish...
Like he's just happy to be there.
Just
dude.
Like a fourth grade dude in a classroom smile, and he's fucking Kodak Black.
Yes.
He has
no idea the content that he has given, that he has blessed us with.
He's going to be replied with that exact picture zoomed in on his face to every Vanderbilt basketball thing for the next 2 years.
Oh, probably more.
Probably longer. That's going to
Our kids will use that photo.
I like how all of Vanderbilt Twitter saw that photo and immediately was like, this is a part of Vanderbilt lore now.
Yeah.
Like, this picture, we're not going to know the context of this in a couple years, but it's still going to be being used. So shout out to the assistant coach. I wish I had a name.
Joey tweeted his name. Sorry, dude. I don't remember your name, but
if you can find it, we would like to give a shout out, because that was an incredible move. like the ramifications in the positive direction. Great job. Great content. But now to the actual class. We ran the numbers before this episode. I'm going to run through each.
Shout out Matt Schultes.
Hey, hell yeah. That's the kind of big brain thinking we like here over at TDR.
We should have him on the pod.
We'd have to put in a request. We're probably not going to be getting any more coaches, I would guess. I feel like we've burned. Once Billy left, we started burning bridges.
Yeah. But when Billy left, we immediately went to Home Depot and got a lighter and some kerosene.
Yeah. The bridges are burnt. I think we still have support within individual Vanderbilt athletic programs, but yeah. I think overall, like media requests and getting guys on, kind of doubt that's going to happen. Which I understand.
I get it.
I understand. I totally understand. Also, it allows us to continue being very objective as well.
I think I'll say this. I think the coaches would want to come on. I truly believe that. I think the media team would tell them, no, we're so sorry, but we cannot allow this to happen under any circumstances.
Also, we haven't really, like, have you reached out?
Yeah, I emailed them like 7 times about getting Mark Byington on the pod, and I never got a response.
Okay, that's a big fish, though. Getting the head coach. I mean, we've done it before in every sport.
Shoot for the moon, you might land on the stars.
But let's get into the actual class. Like I said, we ran the numbers beforehand. Mm-hmm. Points per game that Mark Byington has brought in. We added up all of the transfers over the last 2 weeks, not including the returning guys, Van Allen Lubin and JQ Roberts. Mark Byington has brought in 78 points per game.
Yep.
In the transfer portal over the last 2 weeks.
Amazing.
78 points per game. I understand that a lot of this was at a different level of college basketball, not high major. Some of these guys were high major players.
Yeah.
But 78 points in 2 weeks on a roster that people were starting to get concerned about for a very brief period of time. We were even talking about it last episode. We liked the guys that they had brought in Jalen Carey and Tyler Nickel, but that they needed a lot more pieces.
Yeah.
They got a lot more pieces. So we're going to run through each of these guys. I'm not going to lie. I haven't watched a ton of film or anything on most of these guys. The first player, the biggest domino, Jason Edwards, guard from North Texas, 19.1 points per game last year.
Shooter. Active shooter alert.
Shot 35% from the 3-point line. Mm-hmm. But that 35% is because he shot a lot of threes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a lot of difficult threes, I think is the better way to put that. A lot of catch and shoot, a lot off the dribble. 19.1 points per game at North Texas was a 4-star transfer. There is an article. I think it was written by Joey.
Yeah,
Joey
great Dwyer. Article. Yep.
I'm not going to like steal a ton of quotes from that because I want you to go read the article on Vanderbilt Rivals on VandySports.com. But there is one quote right at the beginning of the article that Joey wrote. With Jason Edwards, where in quote Jason Edwards said, off the rip, just off my first conversation with Mark Byington and his staff, I could just tell these type of staffs are hard to come by. These type of programs, these type of environments are super hard to come by. You could just tell that they were hungry to win, and that's something that I'm excited about joining. Mm-hmm. And he went on to discuss joining a program that went 9-23 last year. Mm-hmm. And he's like, doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
I'm a winner. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I hate losing more or if I love winning
that
more.
That was a great
but
quote.
I'm not going to steal it. Go read the article. Get the clicks to VandySports.com. But a lot of incredible quotes from a point guard with experience and a guy that is going to make immediate impact.
Yeah.
And bring some highlight plays and some excitement into Memorial that they have just been missing. And he's listed as a guard. I think he's a point guard based on what I watched.
He's like that 1-2.
Yeah, he's a 1-2. I think he'll run point guard. But, dude.
If you haven't watched this guy's clips, Billy Derrick, shout out to VandySports.com, former TDR member, tweeted out, and TDR did as well, a highlight clip of Jason Edwards from his past year. This man had the green light as soon as his hand touched the ball.
Quick release.
Dude was just... from the logo, from the corner, from the top of the arc, did not matter. If he had the ball, he was jacking that thing up, and he was making it.
I think as well, I think he's gone D2 to JUCO to North Texas, now to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So he's been a lot of places, a lot of experience. This dude can score.
Yeah.
And I love Ezra Mignone. This is not smut upon the Ezra Mignone legacy. Mm-hmm. incredible player, didn't do great things, but played great games at Vanderbilt. Jason Edwards is a different type of point guard.
Yeah.
And it's the type of point guard that Vanderbilt fans are used to watching.
Yeah.
A shooter.
Scottie Pippen-esque.
Yes, a shooter. So Jason Edwards is the biggest fish, the biggest domino, and that's a piece. He immediately becomes the best scorer on the roster.
Yeah.
Next up, Grant Huffman, point guard slash guard from Davidson, 12.8 points per game last season, 5.3 assists per game.
A mid-range sniper.
I don't really have any more stats on him. I've not watched any Grant Huffman.
A real Hoosier type basketball player, if you know what I'm saying.
Dude, Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. All right. Yep.
My dad's favorite movie, I think. I don't want to speak for him. But we were talking about Hoosiers last night for some reason. We were just talking about how many bad sports movies they are. And then we were talking about some actually good sports movies.
Yeah.
And I ended up buying Hoosiers on Amazon Prime. I'm finishing it up right after this podcast.
Hoosiers is the best sports movie ever made.
I think so.
Yeah.
It holds up. I don't know how many years old Hoosiers is. I'm going to actually look that up.
It came out in like the 80s, didn't it?
I'm looking it up.
But yeah, just like you said, there's been a lot of bad sports movies.
1986.
Yeah. Great film. Whenever he's trying to get the board and he crashes into the trophy case glass, he gets all cut up. Oh, God, what a movie that is.
What a movie. But Grant Huffman, 12.8 points per game, 5.3 assists per game. And then second most recent commit that they've had, Devin McLaughlin.
From
Boston College, 10.2 points per game, 6.3 rebounds per game, a 6'8", I believe, forward. Played quite a bit at Boston College last season. Another great piece to get, complimentary to Van Allen Lubin.
Dude, and I tweeted this, I cannot wait to be in 2L, and just every time he make a shot, yeah, let the Glock sing. Dude, I cannot wait. This guy, what a great name. Devin McLaughlin, dude.
Shot 57% from the field last year, 36.7% from three. Another great addition in the transfer portal. Then we talked about this last episode because he was actually committed, guard slash forward Tyler Nickel, 8.8 points per game, shot almost 40% from three last year at Virginia Tech. A kind of stretch forward type guy, I think 6'7", 220 pounds. Another scorer, another shooter, another guy that brings offense to the table and I think is going to thrive in this Mark Byington offense.
Dude, and we talked about this either before the pod or on break. If I had to pick a sleeper out of this group that I think is going to surprise people the most, I think Jason Edwards is going to surprise people because he's just that good. But somebody that I think fans might sleep on a little bit and then whenever he gets time on the court are like, wow, this kid is good. I'm going to put my money on Tyler Nickel.
Yeah, I think to be a sleeper, you have to not be expected to possibly be the leading scorer on the team. So I don't think Jason Edwards qualifies in the sleeper category, but I don't think Tyler Nickel's stats jump out to you the same way that some of these other guys do, like Jason Edwards, like Grant Huffman, like McLaughlin, 8.8 points per game, shot 43% from the field, but his role was a three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Now that he has other weapons around him and he can more just lean into being a three-point guy, and in this up-tempo Mark Byington offense, Tyler Nickel is the definition of a sleeper that could have a breakout year.
Real Miles Studi-esque, don't you think?
I think he has more to his game than Miles Studi.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's better on defense than Studi.
I think Studi was a great catch-and-shoot guy that spread the defense out. I think Tyler Nickel has a higher ceiling.
You think he's a better ball handler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Next up, MJ Collins, a guard from Virginia Tech, 7.4 points per game. I, to be honest, do not have anything on MJ Collins.
Mm-hmm. But hey, welcome aboard, my man.
We need depth.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt needs bodies and quality bodies, but another Virginia Tech guy. Byington obviously has a lot of connections in the Virginia area.
Coming
from JMU, pillaging.
Dude.
Pillaging. The state of Virginia.
Everybody knows all them real Virginia boys all go to Vanderbilt. Them real Texas boys, the Georgia boys, the Florida boys, all come to Vanderbilt.
But MJ Collins' stats, not incredibly impressive. Played almost 30 minutes per game last season, 28% from three, 34% from the field overall. A lot more of a distributor.
What's his free throw percentage?
84.
I like that.
I like that free throw percentage.
I like that.
And then a guy that has also been committed, it feels like forever ago, but the first commit in the transfer portal of the Mark Byington era, Jalen Carey from JMU, a forward, 7.0 points per game last year. Just another quality depth piece in the post.
Yep.
And then the most recent commit, first team, all Ivy, unanimous selection, Chris Mannin from Cornell, 12.5 points per game last season, 56% shooting percentage from the field overall, 34% from three. Another scoring guard.
Dude.
Scoring offense. It is amazing what a coach that doesn't spend his spare time on the golf course can accomplish in a short period of time in one offseason. Mark Byington made the bold statement that this isn't a 2 to 3 year rebuild. This is a 2 to 3 month rebuild.
Yeah.
And I thought he was just blowing a little smoke. I'm going to be honest. But with these guys he has coming in, I'm not saying Vanderbilt's a tournament team next year. I still think they're undersized. Yeah. You don't really need size in the Mark Byington offense, but I think they could struggle on defense and rebounding with the current size situation.
Yeah.
But Mark Byington's for real.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's a tournament team, but the turnaround could be incredible. Going from bottom of the barrel SEC team to being at least a middle of the pack SEC team on the bubble. Yeah. That is very, very, very realistic now. Uh-huh. And I think a week and a half ago, that was not a realistic expectation.
I think what you know now is this team's going to be fun. You're going to have Vanderbilt fans are going to have a fun time watching this team. Do I agree with Will that they're a tournament team?
I didn't say that.
Sorry, but I meant not a tournament team. I probably lean that way right now, but and we talked about this before the pod. Nobody expects this team to be a tournament team. What Vanderbilt fans want is to have a quality roster and to watch a basketball program that they can be proud of. And I know they haven't been on the court yet, but just what Mark Byington has done in this recruiting process gives fans a lot of hope, gives fans a ton of expectation going into the season. Are they going to be a tournament team? Who knows? Probably not, but my God, they are going to be fun to watch.
Two things this tells me. Obviously, we don't know how these guys are going to mesh. We don't know how this team is going to look, but Vanderbilt is truly testing the waters of can you build a team almost strictly through the transfer portal?
Yeah.
They're gobbling up guys from the portal, quality players, not necessarily any of the largest fish, but they're building a roster strictly through the transfer portal.
Yeah.
Two guys coming in the freshman class because I think they had one decommit,
two
returning players, and 7 or 8 brand new guys with experience from the transfer portal.
And we need to add this too. If you count those guys, their point totals that they're bringing in, plus Vin Allen Lubin, we crunched the math. That's almost 90 points.
I think it's over or right at 90 points.
Yeah, that's 90 points of offense Byington has.
I actually think it is exactly 90 points because it's 77.8 points per game that he's bringing in from the transfer portal. And I think Vin Allen Lubin is 12.2 points per game.
Yeah, so exactly 90 points. And that's not considering JQ Roberts, too. But I do agree. I'll say two things. Maybe Sidewalk fans aren't as stupid as some other people like to think, because what have Sidewalk fans been begging for forever? Shooters. Mark Byington, a guy who clearly knows basketball, comes in, looks at this roster, looks at the scheme he wants to run, and says, what do we need? Shooters. What has he brought in? Straight shooters. Now, I will add, I'm a little bit concerned about the lack of size at the 4-5 position. With that being said, and I had this discussion with Gary on Twitter today. He brought up a great point. If you can bring in a big, he doesn't even have to be an offensive production guy. You just need somebody who's going to protect the rim and get boards. You just need a guy that can do that. If you can bring in a guy that averages, I don't know, 4 or 5 points a game, but you know he's going to protect that rim. This team gives me a lot of juice.
I also think I said before we kind of went off on a tangent that there are two things that this shows me, and then I didn't finish up what those two things were. Number one, Mark Byington is for real on the recruiting trail. We talked about it right after they hired him. It's nice to see a return to just a basketball guy.
Yep.
As the head coach. I'm not saying Jerry Stackhouse isn't a basketball guy, but I'm going to say
he's not.
I'm going to say a college basketball guy. Okay. Maybe okay. That's a better phrase. A college basketball guy. Because I said it in the intro, but all we have heard is Jerry Stackhouse just needed more time. He just needed more time to get his pieces in place. Mark Byington has done more in less than a month than Jerry Stackhouse did in 5 years.
I agree.
That's number one, is Mark Byington is real on the recruiting trail. We're going to see how it shapes up. This is the first crack at it. And number two, and I think the most important part of all this, is the NIL funds are real.
Yeah. Yep.
Because that's all kind of behind the wall, you know, smoke and mirrors. Everybody claims they have an incredible amount of NIL funds and high major and power four now conference programs. Obviously Vanderbilt has funds right now, enough funds to bring in this class so far. And so that's not just blowing smoke.
No,
the Vanderbilt NIL collective is real.
And
there's real money being poured into these athletic programs.
You're absolutely right. And hey, we've been tough on her. We'll continue to be tough on her. Give credit where credit is due. Candace Story Lee getting these boosters to give absurd amounts of money. You gotta tip your cap to her. It looks, then again, I hate to say it, she made a great hire with Mark Byington. As much as I want to say that, you still have not seen him on the court coaching real basketball. But so far, it looks really, really good. No other way to put it. So shout out to her for making so far a really good, smart hire, and shout out to her for working behind the scenes and getting money from a historically tough donor base that does not give money.
I'm still mind blown by all the movement that we have seen. I really did go recording the last episode was trying not to go on a rant about we haven't seen any impact players. I mean, Tyler Nickel was a great get. Jalen Carey's a good get. But the flurry that you've seen over the last week, unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I think that's almost all we have. Like you mentioned, we haven't seen any of these guys on the court. Mm-hmm. Most of these guys aren't even on Vanderbilt's campus until after this semester. So we don't really know, but all the signs are pointing in the right direction. This is all off-season talk. This is deep Vanderbilt basketball talk. Mm-hmm. But all of the signs are pointing in the right direction, and I cannot tell you the last time that we really thought that.
Dude, and we were talking
about...
We're not
just trying to spin because before, I think, going into the last basketball season, it was a lot of spin zone.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I'm always like the hopium guy to where even when things suck, right before it starts, even if for football, they might win two games. I'm telling you guys right now, when we're doing our football preview, I am going to think in my head, this team might win five ball games. This team, if a couple things fall their way, might win six ball games. That's just who I am. It's not a bit. I've always been this way. But I don't know, guys. I know it's early. I know they are not on campus yet. I'm ready to crown Mark Byington king.
If this team even wins 17, 18 games this year, goes to the NIT, or even if they don't go to the NIT, just seeing that quick of a turnaround from a roster that just 2 weeks ago, people were starting to clown, starting to say, oh, you fired Jerry Stackhouse so you could have no players. All of a sudden, Vanderbilt's legit. Yeah. Vanderbilt's going to be a problem this year. There's going to be excitement inside of Memorial. The entire branding around Vanderbilt basketball seems to have shifted more to branding around Memorial Gym and the fans and historic Memorial Gymnasium. That's something fans have been clamoring for. I just want to say again, we were right. Mm-hmm. Jerry Stackhouse was, I don't want to keep bringing up that name, but we're gonna.
Yeah.
He was obviously not putting in the effort in the offseason. Fans were saying it. We were screaming it out loud. He's clearly not prioritizing this roster. He has other things going on in his life that are much more important. And I'm not talking about a wife and children that are more important. I'm talking about leisure activities that are more important to him than basketball. Obviously, that is not the case with Mark Byington. I'm more sure of that than ever.
I mean, are we even sure this guy has a house yet? He might still be renting.
He might be sleeping in the locker room.
He legitimately might be sleeping in Memorial Gymnasium, and this guy goes to bed at 2 a.m., wakes up at 5 a.m., checks his phone, and says, hey, Give me your bank account information because I'm wiring you some cash right now. Come join the boys on Memorial.
And you know you're doing something right when in the commitment graphic in the initial announcement, you have other fan bases saying bad decision.
Dude, Tennessee fans were pissed about Jason Edwards. Did you see that?
Yep.
Tennessee wanted Jason Edwards bad.
Can we talk about also, Vol Twitter has a large swath, a huge fan base, a huge population on Vol Twitter, and they can flood your mentions. Vol Twitter used to be clever and funny.
They used to be the best Twitter fan base.
What happened?
I don't know, dude.
Now they just shit on kids
for
choosing other SEC schools and say the dumbest, least clever things you can imagine.
Yeah.
And just hate on everything. Mm-hmm. They used to be an incredible Twitter fan base. Now they're just fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Like, dude, we're not talking about you. Mm-hmm. We're not discussing Tennessee. If you don't care about Vanderbilt and Vanderbilt's just the whatever doormat, why are you constantly in the mentions of everyone that commits to Vanderbilt?
Yeah.
It used to be funny. Dude, you will not find Vanderbilt fans in Tennessee volunteer commits mentions constantly saying,
no,
dumb decision, you idiot. You're attacking the actual player, the 21, 22-year-old basketball player that has chosen to attend school at Vanderbilt, and you're saying, dumb decision, idiot, go off into oblivion.
It's also just weirdo behavior to tweet at recruits.
It is weird.
I'll be honest, I used to do it.
When it's not like a positive, like, well,
yes,
like when you're not, when you're doing it in a way that's derogatory towards them.
Yeah,
like,
that's weirdo behavior.
That's sitting in your mother's basement behavior.
Yeah.
And maybe Vol Twitter is just full of dudes in their mother's basement. Maybe it's a bunch of high schoolers and whatever. Maybe it is. But it is weirdo behavior.
There needs to be a 30 for 30 on the downfall of Vol Twitter. Yes. There really does, because I've been engaging with Vol Twitter since I was 11 years old. 13 years old. And I still to this day go to war with them. I could literally tweet, I'm on the toilet right now, I just wiped my butt, and just Tennessee fans in my mentions. Just uber Tennessee fans. And I'm like, I don't
go into candy.
I was like, dude, I'm just like, dude, what? I don't.
You do have a few Vol Twitter accounts that are obsessed with your account.
There's one guy that I'm his AV.
I think they have your Twitter notifications on. That's the only way I can.
I do not get it. There's also this one guy that's like a Vol fan and a Giants fan. And dude, it's so funny because I routinely dunk on these guys. Like I could be working at 20% brain capacity and I could just Scottie Pippen, Patrick Ewing just slam on their head. And they're like, they just tweet the dumbest gif at me. And I'm like, do you like, what are we doing here, guys?
It's the same boring stuff. It's like they're stuck in 2015 Twitter.
Yes.
It's like Twitter has evolved, buddy.
Yeah.
But I think that's about it for episode 260. Oh, you have something else?
Has Vandy Twitter, in terms of cleverness and like low-key like aggression in terms of like just straight up mean tweets? Some of the things I see, Vandy Twitter has gotten mean, and I think it is the best thing ever. Like Vandy Twitter used to be like, ooh, I'm going to come at you with logic and reason. And don't get me wrong, like, that's still cool. But then there's just, like, some Vandy fans that just tweet, they're like, shut up, idiot. Or, like, some, like, a heinous remark to them, like, I'm not going to say it, but they just very derogatory tweets. And I'm like, this is awesome.
Vanderbilt Twitter, I'm not going to lie. I don't think TDR can take all credit, obviously not. But Vanderbilt Twitter was almost dead. Yeah. Not that long ago.
Yeah.
It was a wasteland of nothingness.
It was on life support.
And right now we have a very small but very mighty army of TDR warriors.
We have a sleeper cell.
We do. We have an anthill, as Blake Fromang likes to describe it. And when you step or kick over our anthill, it becomes a disaster for you.
But we're not just any ants. We're like those fire ants. As Phoebe. Oh my word.
Phoebe, be a lady.
Phoebe, please. No.
Phoebe.
Stop.
Cut it out.
What are you doing? Just an absolute anthill of the most pissed off little fire ants.
But before we close out episode 268, I think that's all the Vanderbilt talk we have. The NFL draft is coming up this weekend.
Indubitably, Thursday.
What pick do the Eagles have, if you have any idea?
22, I believe.
Do you have any particular players you're looking for the Eagles to draft?
I like Mims, the offensive tackle out of Georgia. My dream scenario is that we trade our first, second, and third round pick. So we pick at 22 in the first, 50 in the second, and I forget where in the third. But my ideal scenario is we trade first, second, and third for Pat Surtain.
You were talking about that.
I would love to get Pat Surtain.
He's only 24.
Or if we do draft somebody and we go defense instead of offense, I really like Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Bama.
I asked that question. I know picking 22, there's not as much you can actually go into it like wanting because you have to see where the rest of the draft falls.
Yeah.
The Titans have a big pick.
Yeah.
And huge. It's a tough pick at the 7th overall pick. You're not looking at quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's a unique scenario for a team in the top 10. There's no thought of a quarterback. Same mm-hmm. as the Chargers. I did see a mock draft on CBS Sports that had the Titans taking Jaden Daniels at 7th overall. Wait, it almost made me look up who it was and tweet at the guy and be like, what crack are you smoking? What weed are you smoking? Because I want some.
Yeah.
Because whatever it is, the Titans are not taking a quarterback.
No.
That would be such an insane move after what you saw from Will Levis last year on a second round rookie contract.
Exactly.
But the Titans have an interesting pick. I saw a lot of discussion on Twitter, and so I decided to comment on it. I saw A to Z Sports tweet out something that said, do you want Joe Alt or Malik Nabers? Mm-hmm. And my initial thought was, I want number one Joe Alt. Mm-hmm. If he's there, Chargers pass on him or whatever, it's obvious. You want Joe Alt. Number two, Brock Bowers for me. I don't understand what has happened in the last month or two that has made Titans fans not see the need at tight end. Mm-hmm. And what has happened with Brock Bowers where he has been devalued so much. Mm-hmm. Because I think before the picture of him looking like a regular dude in a t-shirt and shorts came out, I think he was a unanimous top 10 pick.
Yeah.
And then a picture of him not looking physically intimidating came out, and all of a sudden he might drop down to 13, 14, or 15. Mm-hmm. Titans fans have a tendency to fall in love with their very mediocre players, is what I've seen. And Chigankonkwo, he's fine. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his last name right. He's fine. He's not an elite level tight end. And I think the Titans with Will Levis as a quarterback bringing in possibly a franchise elite level tight end in the modern NFL can be a young quarterback's best friend. Mm-hmm. If they draft Malik Nabers at number 7, I'm going to be very disappointed. I have to put that out there because I just have to get it off my chest. That's nothing to do with Vanderbilt. Right now, I think Titans fans are used to having a roster with no wide receivers on it. Mm-hmm. And right now, you have DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
That's going to be your one. That's going to be your two, no matter who you draft, unless Marvin Harrison Jr. somehow miraculously falls.
Yeah.
Then you take Marvin Harrison Jr. But the best case for a guy like Malik Nabers is being the number 3 wide receiver this upcoming year. And the Titans need to fill needs now. Mm-hmm. And the number one need is offensive line. So we'll see. I'm guessing people out there will be watching the NFL draft. I can't wait. Yeah. It's one of the most fun random 3-day periods in this part of the year. Overall.
I think Joe Alt is, and this is a non-bias. I have no love or hate for the Titans. I really don't. This is an
Yes, hate.
I don't know why people think I hate the Titans.
You don't like a lot of the fan base. Because the same people you argue, it's the one.
I think Titans fans hate me.
It's the one part of the sport that majority of the Vol fans and the Vanderbilt fans mutually come together.
Yeah,
and have a mutual.
At the top is hating Hack Squad.
It's why I think you get more hate than any other Vanderbilt fan like me. Because there's no uniting presence on any team.
Yeah.
You're not a Braves fan.
No,
you're
I
not
hate
a
the
Titans
Braves.
Fan, and you're a Vanderbilt fan. You have nowhere to go with the Tennessee Volunteer fan base. They just hate you every stop.
It's just, I don't get it. I do think some of Andy Twitter hates me.
Oh, probably so.
I think there are a couple guys that are like, wow, I hate that guy. I don't know what it is. I think I'm a pretty likable guy. Every time someone's met me in person, they're like, wow, he's actually a really awesome guy. Same for Will. You get some hate and people meet you and they're like, wow, he's a wonderful human being.
In real on Twitter, you're more of an asshole than me. in real life,
that is true.
I am tremendously.
Oh, the roles are the roles are reversed.
I'm a little bit of an ass on Twitter.
I'm a sweetheart in real life.
But in real life, Trevor's a sweetheart. In real life, I'm a bit of a dick. But I'm also nice. So come out the lot too this fall.
Yeah, come out the lot too.
I'm not that
baby.
Much of a dick.
But yeah, I think Joe Alt is a can't miss guy. I think he's. And I said this today while we were talking in the apartment during work. I think Joe Alt might be like a generational talent tackle.
Well, the Titans need all the help at offensive line they can get. And people forget the Titans have drafted wide receivers in the first round. They just never freaking work out. 2022 was Treylon Burks.
Yeah, Treylon.
And before that was Corey Davis. He was a top five pick.
Oh, my. That's a name I forgot about. So I totally forgot about that guy.
The Titans have a recent history of picking wide receivers in the first round and it not going well. I'm not willing to make that bet again that they can evaluate that, because I think there's such a massive gap between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. Mm-hmm. I think Malik Nabers can be a great wide receiver. I'm not saying that he's not going to be, but he's not a can't-miss guy in the same way that I think Joe Alt and Brock Bowers are.
Yeah.
Now, can't-miss, what does that even freaking mean? You can miss on him, of course, but those two guys are a lot safer and a lot more of immediate contributors than Malik Nabers.
The Jets pick before you guys, right?
Let me look up the draft.
I know the biggest.
Because
I know the Jets want Brock Bowers bad.
I'm not concerned about Brock Bowers not being there, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
I think he will be there.
Okay.
But I could be wrong.
Just because of the quarterback run.
The biggest concern I have with it, there is a nightmare scenario. I'm not going to go through it because we're about to close out this episode.
I would like to hear it.
And I need to pee. Well, I got to look it up, dude.
I thought you knew the nightmare scenario off your head.
A to Z Sports wrote a great article and had some tweets about it. But my biggest concern is that Joe Alt gets picked at number 5. And then there's a quarterback run and the Titans can't trade out of that pick.
Yeah.
That's the nightmare scenario. But anything else you want to add on episode 268? Thanks enough NFL draft talk.
Oh, yeah.
Well, for myself, Will Byram, my co-host, Trevor Hewlin, and our producer, Phoebe, this has been episode 268 of The Door Report, powered by 615 Collectibles.